continue in our series in Ephesians. How many of you, when the alarm goes off, sometimes it's a little hard to get out of bed? Yes, there's a few. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And some maybe are up at the crack of dawn and don't need an alarm. But want to share, I think there's a few pictures there just to encourage you who are snooze hitters and those who are up without an alarm. So I don't know if there's, get those up there. Oh, yeah, there's one. Oh, I don't want to get up. There's another one. Oh, I'm late for work. Oh, no. Yeah, look out. And yes, I love the morning, says that woman. Yes. We're going to talk a little bit more today from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 14, about living a spirit-filled life. We touched on it just a little bit last week, that passage that has its connection to some of the minor prophets and others that Paul quotes here, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I want to talk first a little bit about making the most of every opportunity, because we're going to talk a little bit about that, what the spirit-filled life looks like. Poem for us to start before we pray. There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked, he never tried, he never sang or prayed. And when one day he passed away, his insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they thought he never really died. Uh-oh. I hope that's not a poem that's said about us. That we never really lived. And Paul in Ephesians is saying, wake up, come alive. Let's live. Let's embrace life. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to see your glory come through us. One of the early saints said, the glory of God is man fully alive. Fully alive. Help us to come fully alive as we embrace what your word says for us to do. We truly want to see your spirit move and fill and lead us by the power of your truths and your word. Help us to be a church that is fully present and alive. Father, we just thank you for those who are here today, Father, that we would leave this place even a little bit more alive than when we came in. We love you, we praise you, we commit this time to you, Lord. May these be your words and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Ephesians 5, 14 through 33. Probably won't get totally through 33 today, but we'll include it. Verse 14, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the body, as of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Living opportunistic lives. Living opportunistic lives. What does that look like this week? We talked earlier about being imitators of God. It's the beginning of chapter 5, imitators. Imitators live opportunistically, seeing those opportunities that Christ presents for each and every one of us. And as we read in verse 14, light makes everything visible. And we are to wake up to that light. Sometimes I know I myself find it hard in the winter months to wake up early in the morning. It's hard. I'll just be plain in a minute. For some of you, it's not hard at all any time of the year. Just get up, get going, forget about it. For some of us, it's harder when that darkness, and especially when it's minus 40, man, that's hard. Motivation level is about that much, isn't it? To wake up. It's hard in our society sometimes, all the time, as Christians, to live as people of light. To wake up, because light makes things visible. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So as we walk in the light as he is in the light, we read in 1 John, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. We need to be walkers in the light to wake up and not be slumbering in darkness. It's so easy to be comfortable in our society, isn't it? So easy to kind of just go with the flow rather than go against the flow. But we need to wake up. We need to understand what the Lord's will is. Because light itself makes everything visible. Why don't we want to come into the light? Jesus makes it very plain. John 3:19-20 says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We don't want to come into the light because there's shame in the light. You come in and you see things. You know, I have to laugh sometimes. I have one daughter who loves to be organized for the most part, and one daughter who really doesn't. Really likes to be messy. Any of you have kids like that? One kid's really neat and tidy, the other one's really messy. I go downstairs often to my daughter's room, and they both live in the same room, soon to not be. That's going to change very soon. But anyway, and I turn on the light, and what do I see? One bed that's nice, neat, and tidy. The other bed that Hurricane Sophia has hit. What a mess. Light reveals so much. She'd be a little bit embarrassed, but she's not here, so that's okay. Light reveals things, and sometimes things we really don't like to see. But it helps us, doesn't it? Farmers need light to grow. We need to have light to bring us warmth. The sun brings us that warmth. We need light spiritually to rise from our slumber. We just remembered and celebrated the light of the world dying for us and rising again. We celebrate that every year. So how are we to rise up? How are we to rise up? Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Got to thinking about this passage, and I got to thinking about this book, and it led me to the book of Revelation. There's a message to this very same church, the Ephesian church, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4. John and Jesus gives this message to the book of Ephesians, or the city of Ephesus. Return to your first love. Sometimes we lose that desire for our first love. Things get a little bit out of sorts. We get comfortable. We live our lives a little messy. We end up hitting the spiritual snooze button more often than not. Well, you know, I'm not going to get up this morning and read my Bible. Snooze. I'm not going to, that person that I've been praying for, well, you know, I'm just going to take a break today. I'm not going to pray for them. Snooze. Maybe I won't tithe this month. I don't know if I can really afford it. Snooze. 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 Just think about that. It can be a slumbering church. And we're just sitting here, and when we turn the light on, we don't like what we see, so we turn the light back off again. And we turn the light back on again, and oh, okay, I'll do a little organizing. I don't know, and then I just gotta turn the light back off. I put my head back on the pillow. It's easier to live that way. And it is for all of us. As followers of Christ, it's easier just to not do anything. But that's not what Christ has called us to. Christ has called us to make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We live in evil days. We just remembered the 75th anniversary of Auschwitz, the liberation of Auschwitz this week. There are a lot of people still held captive to a lot of things. I once heard a prisoner say, there's more liberation behind these walls than there is outside this barbed wire. There's a lot of people held captive and are asleep, that sit in our pews, that go to our churches. And it's sad. But Paul is exhorting us, be careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. He goes on, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We need to not act thoughtlessly. What does it mean? The NLT version uses this in this verse. Therefore, do not be foolish, or act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord's will is. We can go through life not thinking, right? Just doing. And we can be thoughtless in our actions. We just do instead of think before we do. And a lot of times what we're doing isn't necessarily wrong, but it can be just thoughtlessly done. We need to live lives that are looking for every opportunity. Every opportunity. What does that look like? Well, it looks like living a spirit-filled life. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Turning to drink or drug or substance, maybe porn, food, overwork, busyness, all this is just a temporary high. You know, maybe it's a certain way that we just cope with life. We've learned certain coping mechanisms, and you turn to these things, these substances or these actions, in order to fulfill or feel better about yourself. But truly, it is self-centered. And Paul is saying to us here, don't fill your need with drink, fill your need with the Spirit. Don't fill your need with busyness, fill your need with the Spirit. Where do we find our identity? Where do we find our focus? Just a few little stats for us from Stats Canada. I thought, as I thought about getting drunk, this particular stat, not that I was getting drunk, okay? I hear a little rumble through there. That wasn't it. That didn't come out right. So I was thinking about people getting drunk. Need to put that extra word in there. There we go. Your pastor isn't getting drunk. No. Although I do hear that Catholic priests in Europe do need a police escort, because they actually have wine at communion, and they have multiple churches. This is just a funny joke. Seriously, this is a true story. Catholic priests in Europe have to have a police escort just because they have too much wine at communion. So there you go. You can tell your friends a fast fact on that one. 2018, in Canada, 19.1% of Canadians aged 12 and under, roughly 5.9 million people, reported alcohol consumption that classified them as heavy drinkers. Ooh, that's right off Stats Canada. Heavy drinkers are classified as female having 4 or more drinks, men 5 or more drinks. That's classified as a heavy drinker. That's sad. Really sad. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life is one of lasting joy despite our circumstances. Despite. That people look at us and say, wow, that person's gone through a whole lot right now, but yet they're still having that joy-filled focus. A Spirit-filled life is one that is selfless. There's signs of a Spirit-filled church which tie into a Spirit-filled life. Speak to one another and psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know that this passage is one of 58 of the one another passages in the New Testament? Love one another, admonish one another, or two of the other ones. So speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Does that mean that I think next week us the greeters are going to greet and say, "Hello, how are you? Jesus loves you." No, I won't definitely, because you can tell I'm not a singer. And that's okay. No, that's not what Paul means here by greeting each other. If you want to do that, hey, some of you are really good singers. If you want to do a solo out there when everyone comes in, it might be a little embarrassing, but, you know, by all means. No, he's meaning something that, yes, it is this setting, which we call corporate worship, that we speak to one another. Andrea comes up here and speaks to us through the guitar and others, and through the drums, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, to admonish one another, to build one another up. We sing these songs to each other to remind and to give praise and honor and glory to our God, who we love and want to encourage one another in this way. But we ultimately do this to point out the glory of God in the midst of the dark world that we live in. I've once heard, and I've said it before, that Sunday mornings are a spiritual gas station along life's highway. But it shouldn't be the only gas station. You need to have those every day. But this is a special place where we can gather together as God's people to learn and to be built up, to be fueled up, in order to shine his light all that much brighter in the world around us. Because the world really is asleep. The world needs to wake up, and we need to wake up ourselves. We come together in this way to encourage one another to dive deep into the gospel. Dive deep. Other ways that we can encourage one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, is talking about what God has done in our lives. What opportunities have you had this week to, as we learned last year, to bless, eat, listen, learn, or be sent? We read about in Surprise the World. What ways have you blessed people this week? Have you eaten with anyone this week? As we'll learn this afternoon a little bit, how do we be Christ in our families? How do we do Christ in the community? What does it look like to see these opportunities and share these stories? Answers to prayer. Has there been answers to prayer in your life this week? Encourage one another with these things. Sometimes we can get so caught up in, well, you know what, the 49ers are playing today. There's a kind of a big game down in Miami. That's wonderful. It's good. Go 49ers. Uh-oh. I'm in amongst the Lions den here, I guess, or the Kansas City den. That's all well and good, but to encourage one another, we come together for that reason. We're not Christian islands. We are to be together and encouraging and sharing God's wonderful stories of transformation, of healing, of sharing the gospel, what that looks like. And ways that the Holy Spirit's taught you. That's another area. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. Music is a wonderful thing. Maybe there's a song, or maybe there is a scripture that God has really just touched your heart with this week, and you want to share that. That's part of the reason when I open the service every Sunday morning, that just want to encourage you with something God has refreshed my heart with in the Word this week. Just want to encourage you to walk that out. Maybe find someone even after the service while you're eating lunch, before we go into our seminar, to just talk to them and say, yeah, you know, I've been reading the Word. Maybe you don't understand this particular passage, or maybe you do and you just said, oh, it's just such a great reminder about God's love or about his truth. Share that. Another thing, you don't know, oftentimes we don't know, especially in a church that's a little bigger like this, what kind of week other people have had. We don't know, really, do we? Some of us know each other a little bit better than others. But maybe that one word, maybe that one song that came on the radio that encouraged your heart, or that one line from that song, will encourage others. So let's just be open to sharing those things on a more regular basis. Verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. What? For everything? Really, God? For everything. One of my study notes said this: thank God not for your problems, but for the strength he is building in you through the difficult experiences of your life. Thank God not for your problems, but for the strength he is building in you through the difficult experiences in your life. You can thank him for your problems. Sometimes maybe we should. God is strengthening your faith in that way. Sometimes those problems have nothing to do with you. They're an outside influence. But it helps us to focus on maybe that person or that circumstance. But always have an attitude of gratitude, being thankful. We can do this life because of Jesus. We worship Jesus by submitting to each other. That's what verse 21 says. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission. It's a word that has some bad connotations in our society today at times, especially for women, and has in our churches at times as well. But we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, one another. We speak to one another, and then we submit to one another. We need each other. Paul talks about in Corinthians, the body of Christ. Every part needs each other. We need to be supporting and cherishing each other. These two words I want to bring out, support and cherish, as part of submit. As this is part of having spirit-filled, not only a spirit-filled church, but a spirit-filled marriage. I'm going to transition a little bit now to talking about submission, a pathway to true peace. The difficulty with marriage, Peter DeVries says, is that we fall in love with a personality, but we must live with a character. Oh, now let's sink in a little bit. Do you have any characters in your home? Husbands, wives? Oh, I hear some good laughing there. That's good. Yeah, I fell in love with a personality, but man, he's sure a character. Or, oh yeah, she's a character. Love this other one. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the source's name, but marriage is somewhat like undertaking a Lego project without instructions. Yeah, sometimes can be, can it? And from an old Lutheran theologian, well, the original Lutheran theologian, Martin Luther, in domestic affairs, he says, I am led by Katie, my wife. In all their matters, I am led by the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but I think you need to be led by the Holy Ghost with your wife, too. But his wife must have been one of those kind of, hey, she wore the pants. True submission, what does it look like? Is it a form of oppression or liberation? Paul would say liberation. Paul would say liberation. Paul states that we are all one in Christ Jesus earlier in Ephesians, male and female. Submission should not be a form of oppressing another person. He has this line here, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. What does that look like? I like how the paraphrase, the message, puts it. It says, wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. In ways that show support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church. Not by domineering, but by cherishing. Cherishing. Support and cherish are two key words to unpack what it means and what the word submission means. Just bring out five simple examples for us. How wives and men, you're not going to get out of this, but that's next week. As we're leading up to Valentine's Day, we need to do a little bit of, you know, looking at this. But today, the ladies have to pick on you for just a little bit. So support and cherish. Number one, wives, it can be as simple as a word of affirmation about a job we've done around the house. Boy, that means a lot. Just to encourage. It could be something positive about the way we as your husband treat the kids. Just an encouraging word of affirmation. Praying with us. Praying together as a couple. So that old statement, couples that pray together stay together. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Number four, simply taking time to listen to the struggles and triumphs of our day. Sometimes it means more, ladies, than you'll ever know. And then simply enjoying an activity, joining together in an activity that we like together. Sometimes ladies don't like football very much. One of the things Sherry's done, she's not here right now, but I took her to a Stampeder game. And she fell in love with CFL football. Woohoo! Yeah! Yes, we went to a few Rough Rider games when we were out in Saskatchewan. And and when we have a chance, Sherry and I watch figure skating. Yes, I watch figure skating. It's okay. I am man enough to say that. And I've even taken my wife to the ballet. So those kind of things are that submitting and not having to have our own way. I love the life, and I encouraged, I get to, I've been having a subscription to the Decision magazine for a number of years, which is put out by Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. On the back page, there's always a little bit of a poem or something by Billy Graham's wife, now they're both in heaven with Jesus, Ruth Bell Graham. She had this statement. She said, Billy's been, he's away a lot. Is that okay with your marriage? These kind of things. Have you ever thought of divorce? She said, divorce, never. Murder, sometimes. wonderful to think of this marriage. And she, her attitude, I remember reading this, and I close with this today. She passed by a construction site some number of years ago and saw a sign, under construction, thank you for your patience. And she thought about that and remember reading an article she wrote in Decision Magazine a number of years ago. She says, I like that. I'm going to use that for my life statement. Under construction, thanks for your patience. Isn't that a great thought for our marriages? A great thought for us as husband and wife? We're under construction. And if you go to North Carolina, I think it is where she's buried, or South Carolina, and you go to the cemetery where she's buried, and you look at her tombstone, I'm done construction. Thanks for your patience. Submission, cherishing, supporting. Wives, you may never have that place of a Ruth Bell Graham. But we as men need your support. Need you to pray for us, pray with us, encourage us. And those of you who are in marriages that, maybe your spouse isn't a believer. Wow. That has to be hard. I can't begin to relate to that. But we pray for you and ask God for strength for you, whether you be the husband or you be the wife. And that the admonition of Peter in his epistle is so key for that, to not live with outward adornment, but to live with a heart that is submissive, just as Sarah was submissive to Abraham. Don't have time to get into all that, but we're all under construction. We are all needing to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to our lives, to wake us up to the reality of the Spirit-filled life in our church, in our marriages, so that we can be, do, and see Christ here, and even more importantly, out there. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have and are constructing us. Help us to praise and encourage one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, to be the people that you've called us to be, to live that Spirit-filled life with joy, with thanksgiving. We thank you for what you have done for us and what you will do through us. In Jesus' name.